and welcome to the Newmount Calvary Podcast. This is Pastor Sandra Dawson, pastor of the Newmount Calvary Baptist Church of Los Angeles, California, and you are listening to our podcast. This is a ministry of Newmount Calvary where we will have an opportunity to talk about a lot of things together, talk about things that are happening at our church, in our community. You'll be able to hear sermons from myself and from our associate ministers, words of encouragement, and to be able to use this space to conduct interviews, talk to our members who have been away, but hear testimonies of hope and triumph during this pandemic. So I want you to share this podcast and subscribe to this podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. So in today's episode, we are going to talk, or I should say, we are going to listen to a message that was given just this past Sunday, the last Sunday in January, by Reverend Donisha Beaver. This was a sermon about discipleship. As you know, or may know, this is our year of education as a church family. Newmount Calvary has four core values: evangelism, education, integration, and equipping. And so this year we are talking about preaching and teaching about discipleship. And Reverend Beaver gave such a beautiful message on Sunday morning that I wanted you all to hear that sermon. And so for those who may not know her, she serves as our Director of Business Operations and Strategy, an associate minister at Newmount Calvary. She also works with Kedron Vaccines, helping our community to get vaccinated and boosted. And on that note, if you have not been vaccinated or boosted, soon we will have another clinic here at Newmount Calvary. And I want to encourage you to do that to keep yourself safe and your loved ones. So let's hear now this message by Reverend Beaver, and I'll be back at the end. God bless you.
But as the song stated, that we decided to make Jesus our choice as we approach January 30th, 2022, it is most befitting to hear a song like that on what we normally deem as and what still is, regardless of the setting or place, Mission Sunday. Today is Mission Sunday, where we celebrate the work of our local and international missionaries. And so to that end, I would like to celebrate the work of the men and women on mission for the local work they give. We honor always Sister Marjorie Mosley and her work as an international missionary and the great works that she has done and the Lord has allowed her to do. And we celebrate the continual mission work. As we know, Newmount Calvary has a mission project this weekend where we're partnering with and blessing the WLCAC with homeless donation items for the work that they're doing. So based on our mission statement of our church, we are a mission-minded ministry. We are a missionary Baptist church. That is in the title. That is in the DNA of the work that we do. And so it is always prudent that we stay mission-minded in everything that we say and everything that we do. And so to that end, we're going to go to the Great Commission this morning. You can meet me if you have your Bibles. I pray that you do, or your laptops or an iPhone or an iPad, but always have your word with you. Amen. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This pericope of Scripture is one of the most important scriptures recorded outside of the ascension of Jesus Christ. It gives the mission and vision and value for the work that we do as believers and the work that we do as a church, known as the Great Commission. But even more than that, these few passages of Scripture and the power and presence they present are also known as the as an apostolic commission. And we often don't refer to it that way, but I will present to let you know that it is. But again, we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, but whatever version that you have that the Lord gives you unction to read and you're comfortable with, I ask that you do so. And it reads as thus, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Father God, we pray now that you would bless and anoint this word that you have given unto me. I pray that it would reach to the hearts of the men and the women on this call and penetrate our minds. God, increase our thinking. God, move us to do the things for which you have called us to do. We thank you for this time of gathering. We thank you, O Lord, that you give us time and space to worship you in spirit and truth. So bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this morning we're going to be again in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And the title of my message is "The Shift Is On." The shift is on. Amen. You can text somebody right now and tell them Reverend Beaver is on the 7:30 a.m. conference call line, and she is talking about the shift is on, based on the Gospel of Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. When we get to chapter 28 of the Gospel of Matthew, it is one of the most profound chapters in Scripture, one of the most profound chapters in Scripture, because it has three subcategories even before we get down to verses 18 through 20. When you are reading the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, when you read verses 1 through 10, we get to the climax of Scripture, the climax of our faith, and that is that we are celebrating a risen Lord and Savior. We're celebrating that he died, he was buried, and that he rose. And the message of that ascension that was then given unto Mary Magdalene and Mary of Bethany to go and therefore and to let his disciples know that he had risen. This is what we celebrate even now coming from the Christmas season as we venture on and prepare our hearts and our minds for the Easter season. As we know, the Advent season is approaching. Amen. The Lenten season is approaching very soon as we get into February. And we prepare our hearts and our minds to begin to celebrate the rise of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But if you continue reading the Gospel of Matthew 28 and you get down to verses 11 through 17, something very interesting transpires in the text, because then you have what is known as the famous cover-up. The famous cover-up. Here it is that the guards assemble to come up with a message with regards to why Jesus' body is missing from the tomb. You don't have to believe me. If you go to your Bibles and you read the text, you will see that they come up with a plot and a plan, because everybody has witnessed the execution, but then nobody was present for the miracle. Isn't it like Jesus, amen, to perform a miracle, and he doesn't need a crowd. He doesn't need a crowd to do miracles. Amen. But a miracle takes place and nobody is present. So everybody is in a very curious mind and state, because everybody was present for the execution. They saw it outside of the disciples who left during this time of suffering. They saw it. His mother saw it. His brother saw it. They saw it. But nobody was present during the miracle. And so here it is, they are plotting and colluding of how to come up with a narrative and or a story to define why is Jesus' body missing from the tomb. If you read the text, it says in verse 11, it says, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we were slept." This is the guards. This is a cover-up attempt to show the darkness of these priests, to outline and to give a bad name even to the disciples. Even though they were not present, they're still being accused because they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to deal with the consequences that Jesus is missing. But then when we get to verses 18 through 20, which is really the mission of every ministry, the mission of every local church that gathers and assembles, we get to the Great Commission. The Great Commission. So how interesting it is that, again, when you read the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, you have the great climax, you have the great cover-up, and then you have the Great Commission, all in the same chapter. But yet, it is here that we find these powerful words that let us know that the shift is on. The shift is on. Jesus was always mission-minded. He came on mission. He lived on mission. He served on mission. He gave his life on mission. And then towards the end of his life, as he is now preparing to ascend and go forth, he is now giving the Great Commission, because he's no longer going to be on earth with his disciples to lead and to guide them. But this is a work that they're now going to have to do on their own with the unction of the Holy Spirit. They're going to have to remember his words. They're going to have to remember his voice. They're going to have to remember where his foot tread. They're going to have to remember the places that he took them to. They're going to have to remember the networks that he connected them with. They're going to have to remember so that they can now do the work that they have been trained to do. When we get to this word of disciple, this word disciple is not found in the Old Testament at all. The word disciple is found in the New Testament. And I want to sit there for a little bit, because I know that we have seasoned saints on the line, amen, and we have just come out of the book of Joshua for our consecration time, and I pray that you as blessed as I was. But when we are in the book of Joshua, really in any of the Old Testament books, we are not dealing with discipleship. We are dealing with spiritual mentorship and leadership formation in Scripture, because mentoring involves relationships. It requires support and encouragement and mutual respect for the mentee. But it's important to know, specifically when we deal with spiritual mentorship versus discipleship, is that the Old Testament consists of men, women, kings, prophets, judges, and military leaders who were appointed and anointed to follow the plan of God. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord initiated, I want you to hear me, the Spirit of the Lord initiated the mentoring duties and responsibilities that we find in the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord initiated the mentoring duties that we find in the Old Testament, the mentoring duties of Moses, the mentoring duties of Elijah. So Moses to Joshua, Elijah to Elisha, Deborah over the people of Israel to lead them into and to judge them in the promised land. These are initiated mentoring relationships. They are God-ordained assignments so that a mentor spirit would go into their mentee by demonstration, by execution, by fellowship, and by an unction and a leading of God. Therefore, that mentee resembles their mentor. But when you get into discipleship, discipleship is something where a person or a disciple has to be made. People are not born disciples. Discipleship is a learning process. So discipleship is different from Old Testament leadership formation, Old Testament spiritual mentorship. And in this season, Pastor Dawson, if we have been paying attention, if we have been listening to the sermons, if we have been listening to the Bible studies, if we've been reading our core values, if we've been reciting our vision statement, if we've been looking at our mission statement, there is an apostolic shift, an anointing that is happening at our church, and God is raising up disciples for a new work. Not a new building, not a new sanctuary, not a place for us to stay still, but a place for deployment, for people to be nurtured, to be trained, to be made, and be willing and have a heart to go. God is raising up. God is asking for, in this season, in this dispensation, God is asking for disciples. He's asking for people who are willing to go. Isn't it interesting that Jesus would give this commission to his disciples, even though they were not present during the most difficult time of his life? He would give this commission to men who walked with him in the good times, but abandoned him in the bad times. Isn't it interesting that he still saw who they can become and who they can be when they did not see it in themselves? Because sometimes when you are discipling, sometimes when you are helping and making people become who they need to be, they don't know who they are in the disciple-making process. They don't know all that God desires for them to be. And sometimes they will even abandon the assignment, right? Because the reality is, while we've been in the pandemic, we have not seen everybody that's connected to the New Mount Calvary Baptist Church. We have not seen people who have been a part of the ministry for years. And when a crisis hit, there was a shift. And then we as a ministry have pivoted and tried to make every level of accommodation so that they can be connected, committed, and consistent. But I am here today for you and I to remind them that the Great Commission is not just for the pastor, and the Great Commission is not for the ministers, and the Great Commission is not for the deacons and deaconesses, and the Great Commission is not for the ministry leaders, but the Great Commission is to the whole church. The shift is on. The shift is now. The shift is happening. And we are in a season. We have lost so many pillar members of the church that the new disciples are going to have to be made, not just converted. It's not just about those who are new believers coming to know the faith and coming to know Jesus Christ, but who is going to help them be made? Who is going to help them become disciples of Christ, not just attend worship, not just attend Bible studies, not just provide tithes and offerings for the growth and development of the kingdom, but who is going to help that man, that woman, that child, that boy and girl go and do what God is calling them to do? Not just do what I do. I am not looking for mentees. Jesus is looking for disciples. Our church in this dispensation is in need of disciples, not just members, people who are willing to go, people who are willing to shift. I'm talking to myself included, so this is not on one individual person. This is a call. This is an apostolic commission for all of us for discipleship. Now, when we think about that the shift is on and what this Great Commission or Apostolic Commission, because oftentimes when we think about the Apostolic Commission, we think about the ministry that was given unto Peter, Peter being the great apostle, Peter being the one to lead and to establish the church and its predecessors, as we know. But here in this passage, this Great Commission, this also is an apostolic commission. It is not the first commission. And so it's important to note it's not the first commission that was given unto the disciples. This actually is the third commission that was given unto the disciples. If you were to, and I was to have time to really deal and to dive into all three commissions, we find that the first commission is recorded in Luke 24 through 47. And this was given to Jerusalem on the evening of the day of the resurrection. Okay, it was given not to the 11 only, but also to them that were with them in verse 33. This commission was the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ and even that of John the Baptist. What is that commission? Repentance and the remission of sin. The second commission is recorded in Mark 16, verses 15 through 18, and I'm going slow if you're taking notes. And it was given when the Lord appeared to the 11 as they sat and met. And it was carried out by them that heard him. Hear what I'm saying. Hear how specifically these commissions are going for. Then we get to what we know as the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and 19 through 20. And this was given on a mountain in Galilee. It was the proclamation of the king who had left Jerusalem, according to the parable, according to the scriptures, has set in place until his return in power to set up his kingdom. This commission that we are going through today is the summons to the Gentile nations to submit to the Lord Jesus as the King of Israel, also recorded in Psalm 2, verses 10 through 12. It is a proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom for us to go and to witness to all the nations. This is what is being charged to us and charged to the 11 in this work. So what does it mean by the shift is on? The shift is on, and I'm moving for time's sake. Amen. The first thing that we know when it comes to the shift, when it comes to the shift, and when it comes to the shift being on, is that it's important for us to know that disciples have to have a go spirit. Disciples have to have a go spirit, because the work of the ministry is not confined to the local church or the local sanctuary. And I'm getting excited. We have been working on the sanctuary a long time, but we are not setting up a place to now be idolized because of its newness. The sanctuary is being remodeled to be a place of deployment and development and training. So when we come into the sanctuary, when we come into the place where we come to meet the Lord, we are coming to be trained and to be disciplined and to learn and to grow and to sit, and then we are going to be charged to go. It is going to be beautiful. It's going to be a place that we're going to want to hang and to linger and to talk and to fellowship. But fellowship is not creating discipleship. Discipleship requires us to go. Discipleship is going to require us to meet people where they are. Discipleship is going to require us to always be in a state of learning, always be in a state that's teachable, always be in a state that is adaptable. If we were to think about discipleship, we use the acronym of FAITH. The first thing is that we want to be faithful in what we're doing. The A means that we want to be approachable, right? Because in order to make disciples, you have to have approachability. You have to be approachable. Then when it comes to the I, we want to be intentional. We want to be intentional about our discipleship making. We should think about discipleship making every day. T is for teachable, and then H is a heart for God. And so when we think about a disciple, we can put it in the acronym of FAITH. These are the qualities that are required. And then Jesus tells them to go in his authority, because he knows that people are going to come and try to doubt their ability and their anointing and their unction. And he says the anointing and the authority has been given unto me to you. And so I have the anointing. I have the assignment. I have the ability to go. My calling is not to stay. And you have to be willing to move when God gives you the go. Again, this is not about spiritual mentorship, but this is about discipleship. So disciples must be willing to go. Second thing is a disciple must be willing to make other disciples. You must be willing to make. Again, look at the word. It doesn't say initiated. It doesn't say appointed. It says disciples are made. What does that mean? You have to be willing to do the art and the work of practicing, of following Jesus by learning, by trusting, and obeying his word as essential to Christian life. You have to help people become who God has called them to be, even when they are not present in your time of suffering. Even when they're not present in moments that you think they should have been there. Our charge and our task, which this is very difficult, is to not judge them for them not being there, but is to affirm and to elevate and support them to become who God wants them to be. I don't say like that is an easy task, but for us as disciples and in the disciple-making process, the question becomes, can you disciple when it doesn't feel good? Can you disciple when it doesn't look good? Can you disciple when people upset you? Can you disciple when the church hurts you? Because disciples are not appointed. This is not a ministerial assignment. This is not a deacon assignment. This is not a pastoral assignment. Disciples are made. The shift is on. The next thing that we find in the text is the assignment is disciples must be willing to demonstrate an outward demonstration of their fellowship. That was very clear. It means baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are running now into a generation and a dispensation who does not want to be baptized. But baptism, it does not save us, so we know it is not the precursor of salvation, but it is a qualifier to be a disciple. And I think in our teachings, we have to be very clear. We cannot allow a generation to raise up and not understand the premise and the importance of being baptized once they come into a saving knowledge of Christ. This is why for us at our church, the baptistry pool is very clear. It's right in the front. Oftentimes we have been teased and mocked on numerous occasions when people have come to visit Newmont Calvary and say, well, I know if I go here, I'm going down in the water. And we would say, you're absolutely right. Because here we believe, not in an idolatrous way of the baptistic pool, but we believe that baptism is an outward demonstration of an inward change, and it also is a qualifying indicator of being a disciple of Christ. And it's in the Word. And then we disciples understand the assignment. Disciples understand the assignment. What is the assignment? Verse 20. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Discipleship is about teaching. Not just a few people teaching. Discipleship is a whole church project. Discipleship is about all of us teaching. And so then the question becomes, not who you're mentoring, but who are you teaching? Who am I teaching? Where am I teaching them? What am I demonstrating to them? What am I showing them? What are we showing them? We don't want to just be known for a Bible teaching ministry if the people who are with us don't understand what we're saying. That we're so deep that we're not able to penetrate the hearts and the minds of the people who are showing up. And we're getting a generation that's post-Christian. People coming to church now, they've never been to church. They don't know the story like we know the story. They don't know the Sunday school lesson like we know the Sunday school lesson. They have no idea. This is foreign language, foreign territory to them. And our job is to make it adaptable, accessible, available, and presentable. Am I just in a posture of being taught? Or am I now teaching? We supply enough word at New Mount Calvary that everybody should be teaching. We should never have to look for a teacher. So in this season, you may get a new teaching assignment from Pastor. Are you ready to accept that assignment? Or will we put our hands in the air and say, no, Pastor, I'm not ready? But discipleship is about teaching them to obey, not pastor teaching, not the minister teaching, not the deacon teaching, not the ministry leader's teaching. But it is a whole church project, amen. It is a whole church project. And then he leaves these words. And remember, I am with you always until the end of the earth. Why does Jesus say these words to his disciples? Because he knows they're going to run into some dark days and some dark situations. He knows they're going to run into some people who are not going to accept, not going to want to be a part of the faith. He knows they're going to run into some occasions where they're going to doubt, because even if you go back up and he presented himself to them, there were several who doubted him, and they walked with him every day. It doesn't matter our age. Doubt sets in regardless of age. Doubt sets in regardless of position and posture in the church or in the marketplace. Doubt has the ability to creep in, and it's not big. Doubt happens subtly. Doubt happens when people question. Doubt happens when people ask why. Doubt asks when you don't get affirmation that you're doing a good job. Doubt happens when you have insecurities. Doubt has a way of subtly creeping in. Doubt happens when you feel like God has not answered your prayers, when God is not working on your behalf. And the enemy knows it. And so this is why Jesus finishes this pericope of Scripture when he says, and remember, comma. Because there's going to be some days where you and I are going to have to pause when nobody's around, and we're going to have to remember what the Lord has done. We're going to have to remember what the Lord is doing. We're going to have to remember who the Lord has raised up. We're going to have to remember who the Lord sent to the church. We're going to have to remember how we built without a blueprint. We're going to have to remember 10 years from now when we rebuilt this sanctuary in a pandemic when supplies were stuck on the port. And as much as we prayed and wanted them to get there, it was not until the Lord decided to release them that they showed up. And we worshiped anyway. We gathered anyway. We used any technology method that we could to meet and to come together. But Jesus is saying in this current shift, as I leave you, that the gathering cannot stop with us. This is not just a New Mount Calvary thing. We're global now. We're local and we're global. We're local and we are across the country. We're local, but yet we're large. There is an apostolic anointing on our church. Our pastor is being called to minister to other leaders, to help other churches develop. And in order for that process and her elevation to occur, she is going to have people who are willing to go. It's an apostolic anointing. We have churches who look like and sound like New Mount Calvary all over the city. We have churches that are not New Mount Calvary singing, Lord, make us one. I've heard it at the end of their services. It's an apostolic anointing on our ministry, on our leaders, and on our church. The shift is on, and I beseech you, and I encourage you to remember how far we go, that the Lord will be with us always.
Well, thank you for listening to today's podcast. This was our opportunity to continue talking about the importance of discipleship. Thank you, Reverend Donisha Beaver, for such an exciting interesting, challenging, and informational message. Again, you can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Pastor Sandra Dawson, and I want you to know that I appreciate you, I love you, and we are growing as a church family. Let's continue to grow and go and be the disciples that God has called us to be. I'll see you next time at church on Sundays, or I'll talk to you through this podcast during the week. God bless you.